Hello friends, I am introducing you to a subject, Principles of Management, the backbone of anything that we learn in a B school. It starts off by understanding what is management. Is it just a terminology we are using? Is it something very esoteric? Or is it something else? In most of the cases, when you read any book on principles of management, you'll find a lot of terms and terminologies that are used. Lots of things are mentioned there. They look very impressive. People learn it. They use these impressive words. Some of them know what it is and they actually apply it. But most people do not apply management in terms of what it needs to be done. You may be a very successful manager in an organization. You may be managing a lot of people who are working below you. But there's a very good likelihood, I repeat, a very good likelihood that you may not be a good manager. Does that sound weird? It's not. So what I'm exposing you in this very first chapter, number one, of this subject, Principles of Management, is how management is basically something that we all know. The good news is we all know what's management. And this management which we are talking about is something which we need to get in touch with and then understand whether we are really applying what we know. We know management, but are we applying it? So most of it is application, and application starts from where? It starts from me. Take this video lecture. Unless there is a certain systematic approach, unless there is a preparation, unless there are certain sets of processes that has been already carefully planned, this video shoot will not be effective. It won't take place in the manner in which it is supposed to be. So let me take you to the very first chapter, which is titled as Nature of Management. Nature of Management. What does it comprise? What are the various challenges? Does management mean that only certain people know what is to be done and what is not to be done? Or does it mean something else? The term has become a jargon in modern parlance. Every second person is talking about management, and the moment you use the word management in parties, in get-togethers, in social fronts, people start feeling that it's a very big B school and there are some people who are learning, they're wearing a tie like what I'm doing right now, and they talk big words which are very impressive. They are impressive, but are they really expressive enough in terms of actions? That's a question. Suffice it to say, my dear friends, a lot many people know management, they practice management, but they may not be using the terms and the terminologies which we learn in the B school. This is not to say that these terms and terminologies are not important. Many of you learn management and you use the terminologies without even knowing the application part of it, because you do not apply it in your personal lives. Very simple. So to my own take on management is, am I using these steps, these processes into my personal life? Have I experimented? Have I brought them into light? Have I challenged some of the theories given? Have I modified them? Do I make them work for me? Now, these are the things that I put myself into questioning when I learn these management theories. Now, it's my invitation to all of you who are listening to me that please learn to get into the practice of management. I've been talking about it in every forum. Merely talking about management and the various processes is not enough. What's really important is, have I understood how to convert these into practice? And the practice starts from me. Many a time, students tell me, when I ask them what's the definition of management, they say it's about getting things done. As if a group of people are there, you have to push them and get things done. That is popularly believed to be management. It is one of the aspects of management, but before that, there is a starting point, and the starting point is me and me alone, no one else. So there are certain qualities I need to develop to understand management, because the moment I implement management in my own life, then we can understand how to do it for others in organizations. And so, let me take you to the very first slide. which says, according to Peter Drucker is a most celebrated champion of modern scientific management. Many of us know about him, written a lot of books. And this Peter Drucker has mentioned that the emergence of management as an essential, a distinct and a leading social institution is a pivotal event in social history. The central focus of society, of the history of society, of the evolution of society from times immemorial, from the times of way back, as far back as the Egyptians when they built the pyramids, even beyond that, ever since mankind has been living, ever since there has been endeavor in groups, for that matter even alone, management has existed. It was not given a definition in the form of a book or in the form of a lecture or something, but it existed. There was an existence, but it did not have a structure. So this becomes a pivotal event in social history, the emergence of management. Now, what is this emergence of management? Emergence of management means there was a certain period in the history of business when management was given a certain scientific direction, underline scientific direction, which means when you are working in a social system is one wherein we are dealing with people, behaviors, attitudes, desires, goals, visions. So when there's so much of crisscrossing of people, all of you will agree, there is a tendency for certain amount of chaotic working. Now, when I'm running an endeavor, when I'm running a certain function, an event, this chaos is bound to happen because of crisscrossing of ideas, desires, objectives, goals, etc. Obviously, all of you will agree that by running that event in that chaotic manner, we will have a push and pull of people in different directions. There will emerge certain people whom I call it as proxy leaders. They will influence the group thinking and the group action. So everything becomes very chaotic. Now, when such a thing happens in an organization, you could imagine what could be the result. Whatever goals we thought of is not clear. I say something, I shout the loudest, and so people listen to me. Others may have better goals, so my goal gets executed properly or improperly, I do not know. There is no system of calibration. There is no method by which we know whether we are all going in the proper direction or not. What's the result? The result is we may not achieve the goals properly and everybody would not be able to give out their best. So now all these chaotic conditions which I'm talking about is something that scientific management addresses. It says, let us have all the various processes properly defined. Put them in a systematic manner. And then let's take it systematically, just as how we run any scientific device, a computer, a laptop, a cell phone. There's a systematic approach which we run it. So businesses, which are basically social systems, need to be also run in a scientific manner. That is what exactly we talk about, management in capital letters M. So the emergence, the arrival or the heralding of the management as an essential, distinct and leading social institution is a pivotal event in the social history. So when management came into existence, management as we study management, okay, it has always been there, but as we are studying it, we are going in a systematic approach. This became the central focus of the social history. It started off, my dear friends, as a corporate initiative for running companies, institutions, factories, etc. But today we all know that the same principles that is used for running an organization can be used for running your own personal life, for running a function like a wedding or a birthday or a religious event. All of us know about it. So how these set of processes could be replicated by anybody? Underline the word replication. I may run an event my way and I'll be very successful. But I do not create a blueprint of step-by-step process chart, as we call it. Since I do not create a process chart, in my absence, nobody else will be able to run it. It's a chaotic system. The purpose of learning scientific management, the way we are learning, is to ensure that certain systematic approach, scientific approach, is understood by everybody uniformly, so that if X is not there, Y runs it. If Y is not there, Z runs it. Meaning, at the end of the day, organizations are social systems. They make a promise to society. When I make a promise to society, the promise is based on my assumptions about people who are working in the company. Now, if I have to integrate all the people working in the company with the resources, then I need to create certain step-by-step approach in which everybody fits in. And when they fit into that particular set of processes, then the process becomes the central focus, not the people and their chaotic way of working. So today we all know that every organization in the 21st century global working is highly process driven. The processes matter. So for the purpose of the process, which is the backbone of any company, we need to have people who understand the processes, who fall in line with the process steps, and simply execute the processes. Right? So, taking it further, friends, management is an art, a very famous expression. What do you mean by an art? They say an art cannot be taught, it has to be caught. An art cannot be taught, it has to be caught. It means what? Art is something that comes from within a person. Art is the uniqueness of the person. When I draw a picture of some figure, political figure, let's say Mahatma Gandhi, and someone else draws the same figure of Mahatma Gandhi, they'll be different. Because I'm putting my thoughts, my inner qualities, my thinking process, so many subtle things, the way I look at Mahatma Ji, I put it in a certain manner. Someone else, he puts his inner thoughts, his inner thinking, his thoughts about Mahatma Ji in a different way. So when you see both the pictures, you'll find both are different. Same thing is applicable for management. Two people are given same task to do, both of them are qualified to do it, but all of you will agree they are different. I give this example about two ladies making a cup of tea. All the items are same, the tea leaves identical quantity and quality, sugar identical quality and quantity, water, milk, etc., all the things are identical. And when we tell both of them to make tea, they would make the tea their way, and both the cups of tea will be tasting different. Right? It will taste different because each one has got his her art of making the tea differently. Now, this is what is the art of management. It is something in which my uniqueness can be put into practice. And so what is said is, it is in this, in the sense of possessing managing skills by an individual. I learn and I do it my way by taking the learning and adapting it my way. That's the art of management. Next, we talk about management is a science also. It's a science too. What is science? Science is a systematic approach, like I told you before. While I know the steps of making the tea, I find myself modifying those steps situationally because it's me. This is difficult to explain. This is experiential. All of you will agree. Take a simple thing like a laptop. When you boot the laptop, when you start it, you do it your way. There is a certain system of doing it, right? I know techies, they have a system of, you know, booting the laptop and they straight away come down to the particular application. So what really happens is the science part of it becomes a guidance, and the art part of it is what produces the actual results. One thing we need to remember is management is a science. But it's not a science as in something like algebra, A plus B whole square is equal to A square plus 2AB plus B square. That's constant, steady, whether you do it in India, in US, in Russia, Germany, anywhere. But when we say management is a science, it's a science that acts as a guidance. It acts as a means of converting chaos into clarity so that the process steps are easier to follow and effective in the results. However, in spite of following all the steps, if I do not apply my understanding of management as an art, then the results that come out may not be as per the expectations. Now, this part of it is very subtle to understand. You may appear for the management exam, you may get very high scores, but in reality, you may not be successful as a manager because you are not effective in producing results. So, to produce the results, I need to apply the science of management through an art. This is one way in which all of you should understand this, right? So, it involves developing certain principles or laws applicable in a place where a group of activities are coordinated. Okay, what are we doing here? We have got certain systematic way of running an office. There are certain departments, certain places where people are sitting. Marketing sits in one place, production is somewhere else at the shop floor. Then we have the manager sitting in the cabins. So all this is a certain systematic way of doing things. And when I do that, what am I doing? I am following certain principles. I have to meet the CEO. Now he is located in a different floor. And there has to be a board that says this is the CEO's office. There are certain principles, certain laws, certain systematic approach which needs to be followed. Otherwise, imagine going to the office and there is no board of CEO's office. You also start searching for him. Nobody knows what's going on. Everything is chaotic. Now, does that work? Never. It'll never work. It'll be by trial and error, you'll be doing something. Organizations are not run by trial and error, they're run systematically. Right? So, having said this, let's take the next one. According to Ralph Davis, another management guru, management is a function of executive leadership everywhere. When I say executive leadership, what is executive? Executive means execution. From execution comes executive, meaning it's about somebody who does with his hands. I can't wear a tie and sit in a cabin and throw orders when I've not even done the work. We use an expression called man ages to become a manager. It means what? It simply means that unless and until I've actually worked in a shop floor, I've actually seen production, I cannot become a production manager and I will never be able to understand what the production shop floor is all about. And so, it's a hands-on experience that is the executive part of it, and the leadership is all about influencing people, influencing the people around you so that they are able to take you ahead. It simply means that I was a production engineer once, I'm taking my example, and that production engineer gradually became in charge. Now, if I am to be an in charge and I have to lead people, I have to lead by example. I have to walk my talk. For example, there is a machine that is having a problem. I go and tell my supervisor, I tell my worker, now set up this machine properly, mend it properly, repair it properly. And then he turns around and say, tell me what is the issue, he asks me. Now, if I do not know the issue, then do I inspire leadership? No. So, if I know the issue, then I'll be able to inspire him. When will I know the issue? Only when I've worked with it, when I'm in touch with it. So, please do not go out with the mistaken notion that you do an MBA course, you do not see the shop floor, you do not see the market, and you can become a manager. Sorry, that's theory. One has to have a field experience. One has to know exactly what's happening down there. That's where the execution comes. So, the executive leadership is very important, and management is a function of the executive leadership everywhere. According to Ralph Davis, a very old management guru. Now we come to the next slide. Application of principles of management into action in your life as well as on your workplace every day and correlating these principles with your personal life situations is called internalization. I started off by saying, learn management. First thing, apply it in your personal life. I say this in every lecture, every forum wherein I am asked to talk about this. If I have to teach you principles of management, I have to follow it in my personal life. Is my table in a clutter? Is my life chaotic? Am I a victim of bad planning? Do I plan at all? Do I know what exactly I want in my life? Do I know my goals? Many people walk into the classroom with 8 or 10 years of experience, maybe more, maybe less, and then they are wanting to learn management. And they are already holding some positions in the company. But when you see them, when you ask them simple questions about their personal life, there are no satisfactory answers. What's the result of this? When you do not know your goals, when things are little, it's going by the day, by trial and error, quite chaotic, quite nebulous, what happens to you? you are into a state of stress. Why does the stress comes? Because the thinking is chaotic. You are not sure about many things. Why are you not sure about many things? Because you do not know what to do. So first and foremost, have a clarity of thought. When you do a clear thinking, you make your choices. And then you know where I want to go, what I want to achieve. If that is clear, that's called as goal. Once the goal is clear, then the thoughts start becoming very clear. I know managers who are absolutely haywire. Some of you listening to me may be like that. Ask yourself. I know managers who can't take decisions, who are so much cluttered with thoughts. The way they talk, the way they put things across to their people, everything is so chaotic and they take knee-jerk reactions. Are they really managers? My answer is no. Are they in a position to guide their own thoughts? Are they in a position to guide their own actions? Can they stand by the convictions? Not because they are saying, because it's a part of the process. Are they clear about the process? Now these are questions every manager needs to train himself or herself into. I'm using the word train, meaning after I learn or while I'm learning the principles of management, am I putting them into my personal life and practicing it? Am I planning by day? Planning seems to be a very cliche term. Everybody says I plan. Planning has got a lot of depth. How do you plan? How do you do the various activities? These are all things which one has to understand about oneself. How is your wardrobe at your home? How is your table? Do you know how much of money is there in the pocket while I'm talking to you right now? How many of us know what are the resources with us? Very few. And all this we do not know. And we run companies. We run departments. We are a part of an organization. No wonder most of us at every position are cluttered and we tend to do things quite haywire. Fortunately, the company organization, the organization's vision is in line and somewhere certain people put everything online. As I go along the sessions, I'll explain to you by actual examples of year-ending issues, of inventory management, of so many other places where these things, what we go through, the year-ending tensions can be safely avoided, removed totally, provided we have a very systematic approach. It's very sad to note that even large companies do not follow many of these things, what we are discussing here. As a trainer consultant, I have seen this, I see it every day. And so, an internalization is very essential. Internalization means what? I convert a thought or a theory into an action. I convert a thought or a theory into an action. And while I'm converting into an action, I will go across a learning process. And this actions of the learning process will convert it into what is called a skill. The skill means I've taken a theory, converted it into action, and it works in producing results. And this whole process is called as internalization. I'm internalizing the thoughts or the theory into my brain, into my muscle, mind and muscle, and it comes out in the form of an action which produces results. If I do it number of times, the internalization becomes a part of my life. Is this important or not? Very much. Okay? So let's take it further. Learn this subject. My appeal to all of you, put it into your system. Convert the concept into experiences. Convert the abstract into concrete, but systematic approach. I'm underlining this, my dear friends, systematic approach. It will improve your thinking and process. As I'm talking to you, I'm sure many of you realize and understand that this is essential for you. We are living in an age where too much of information load is going on. We go to this search engine, we go to that search engine, we get lots of data and we get more confused. We get bombarded with data and information about people and that again confuses us. We are into clouded thinking, cluttered thoughts. Could we bring it into systematic thinking, a systematic approach? It improves our thinking process a lot. Most importantly, our stress gets predominantly reduced, if not zero. I'm sure all of you agree on this. Okay? So taking it further, you should ask yourself, am I managing my life daily? Are you? Have I added value to myself? Now, what is meant by value? Am I doing things better day after day in terms of time management? Is it making me feel that I value the resources around me? Is it making me realize that there are valuable actions and thoughts I need to take up? Am I going from a certain comfortable level of existence into a more comfortable level of existence and more effective at the same time? So when I experience this, for example, in my own life, my time management has improved considerably from what it used to be maybe about 10, 15 years back to now. I take my leisure periods at the same time. I make it a point to use the time very systematically, not by cluttering too many things and doing too many things, but it goes in a systematic manner, a plan, a timetable. Okay, so have I set up any goals for me to achieve? Do I have a goal? A goal is something very complex to understand. People simply say, I have a goal. Then when you ask them to define a goal, you realize they don't have a goal, they have a wish. Wishful thinking. I want to become something. I want to do my MBA. I want to work in the largest company. Not a goal, sorry. Goals have to be something which we'll be explaining down the line. This thinking process will take you a long way. All this, these are just three questions I have put in the slide. There are many questions you need to ask yourself. Self-awareness, right? Let's take it further. Management involves a set of processes, steps, certain methods of doing things, certain things that lead from start to finish. Those are the various steps which are processes that come into play whenever we want to achieve something. That is our preset goal. Now underline the word preset. What do you mean by preset? I cannot launch into anything unless I know where I want to go. Alice in Wonderland, many of you must have read. Alice in Wonderland, Alice is dreaming and she lands up in a garden. In the garden, there are four different paths. She is looking around. Suddenly, there is a cat, a fat cat called the Cheshire Cat. So she is asking the Cheshire Cat, pointing at one of the roads, where does this go? To which the Cheshire Cat is answering, where do you want to go? So Alice is into wonderment. She says, I do not know. So the Cheshire Cat says, if you do not know where you want to go, it does not matter which road you take. If you do not know what career you want to pursue, it does not matter what career you take. But if you have done this, do you agree that you become directionless, clueless, goalless after some time? Many people choose careers by default and by market-driven conditions, I say. What do you mean by market-driven? Today, a certain industry is popular. People are going abroad. Let's say IT. IT is very popular. Everybody is taking an IT job and they're going abroad. So I want to do IT. I'm not saying IT is good or bad. I'm just giving you an objective comment. So what many people do, the flavor of the day, as I call it. Today, IT is working. So let's all take IT. After some years, maybe something else will come. Let's all take that. So it becomes more market-driven. Market-drivenness is important up to a point, not beyond a point. After that, you have to ask yourself a question. Am I fit for IT? Am I fit for marketing? Do I have the skills? Do I have the vision? Do I have the temperament? Now, this very rarely people do. When they come to me for counseling about career counseling, about what jobs to take after PG, then many of them, they realize that they are in the wrong specialization itself. That's why I have made a video on how to choose a specialization. A lot of factors come into picture. You want to take charge of your life. You want to be a manager, a true manager. First, learn to be a manager of yourself. Very important. And this is what we are talking in the very first chapter of this book. Right? The goal is preset by thinking process and utilizing the inputs such as man, machine, materials, money. There are the four M's of management in a certain coordinated fashion. They have to be put in a proper mix. To do a job, I need a few things. Resources. Resources are, some of them are intangible, can't be seen. And some of them are tangible, which can be seen and felt. Now here we are talking about the resources, which can be seen and felt, tangible. Man, machine, materials and money. Measurable also, right? So, our life is full of activities through which we constantly try to achieve something. For example, to get an admission to the school for our children, to get into a better job, to find our life partner, etc. The list is endless. Lots of things we keep doing, and every day you think that I've done this goal, something new comes up. Desires are multiple, progress is happening, growth is happening, and we always are proceeding ahead. So with this thing, when we are constantly trying to achieve something, there could be a situation of chaos. There could be a situation of confusion. When you're transiting from one role to another role, from one stage of life to another stage of life, from one company to another company, there is bound to be chaos. There's bound to be certain amount of flutter, certain amount of discomfort. Okay. Now, that being the case, while doing this, due to lack of systematic approach, many times we are in a chaotic situation. The advantage of learning principles of management are, one bullet point, our life gets focus and direction. Very important, 90% of your stresses, your thinking process, everything gets solved. We know better how to plan and organize our life. We get clarity of thinking and action. Our stresses get reduced tremendously. Our life becomes purposeful and joyous. I like to focus upon joys. What's the big idea in working as an HOD of a company when you're not joyful? What's the big idea of you rising to become somebody working in an on-site abroad somewhere in a very good country when you're not enjoying yourself? For me, management of my resources means I have a preset goal and I enjoy doing what I do. I enjoy a self-imposed discipline, not a discipline given by a third party, not by a manager who's above me or somebody around me. Can I be that disciplined? The fruits of self-discipline is it creates a joy. You're willing to sit late and do a job because you enjoy doing it. And I'm seeing today many people are not joyous. They switch job to job for large packages. Large packages are not bad. They are good. They are important. But when that becomes a focus and they are not enjoying the job, then what really happens is there's a major disconnect between what they are getting as a compensation and what they are giving as an output. Many organizations are facing this problem. Huge amount of wage bill. The talents are not coming out because many people are there because of only the money, not because they are truly talented and enjoying what they are doing. Right? We start assuming responsibilities and accountability for whatever we do when we put the principles of management into action. When I learn this, when I get into self-awareness and I put it into action, I find myself not only enjoying, but I'm willing to take up more responsibility. I become a responsible contributor to the society, to the organization, to the department to which I belong. Very important, right? Our behavior, most important, our behavior. What is behavior? It's a socially driven, purposeful action. When I'm with people, I have to transact with them. We live in a world of interdependency. In interdependency, what happens? I need you, you also need me. Both of us need each other. So when we need each other, we transact with each other. I want something from you. In exchange, you take something from me. Whether it's the workplace, home, everywhere, there's a transaction going on. So it's a purposeful action which is socially driven. And in behavior, what is it that we have all noticed? I have to talk to you nicely so that you feel good. I have to give you the bad news in such a way that you don't feel so bad. Behaviors are very tricky, very, very chanchal. And since behaviors are such, what really happens is well-intentioned people, they seem to display bad behavior inverted commas. Only when you deal with them quite a number of times, you come to know that they are good people. But then you still give them that brand that he is having a bad behavior. Bad behavior, one of the causes of bad behavior is chaotic thinking. Not understanding certain things. Not understanding that the other person also matters. His comfort zone matters. Now when you learn principles of management and put it into practice, your behavior towards others and the world improves drastically. Try it and see, 100%. It happens. And we are not scared of taking decision. The most important thing is decision making becomes very clear. Those of you who have taken decisions under complex situations, chaotic situations, who have done it with this approach, you have cleared all the clouds of thinking. You have gone through a systematic thinking process. You have put the systematic thinking process into action. Everything is ready and you're about to take a decision. Don't you agree that the decision making was absolutely clear? It did not leave any type of doubt, any type of an uncomfortable situation within you. The beauty is that when I do systematic thinking, I know how to take decisions of eliminating the choices and arriving at one or two paths of action. So decision making improves drastically. By applying what we learn into skills and actions, we grow in our career also. That's a beautiful outcome that happens. And we know methods of correcting our mistakes. It's very important. Who doesn't make mistakes? Who doesn't make mistakes? Everybody makes mistakes. Are we saying that we have to be a perfect manager? Is your boss telling you that you must do everything right the first time? It's a very cliched expression. Do it right the first time. Nice to say. It has its own importance. Doing right for the first time has got its own importance. But it's too premature to talk about it right now. First and foremost, do something at all. You must do something. When you do something, it may go right, it may go wrong. Now, when it goes wrong, are you able to right the wrong? Right is a verb in this case, okay? So, are you able to right the wrong? Now, when you right the wrong, gradually you make less mistakes. When you make less mistakes, you make more proper, correct actions. And then you come to the stage of maturity where you say, do it right the first time. So don't get carried away by those jargon, all those expressions which people use. Do it right the first time. It looks so nice to hear that. It is nice. But before doing that, you need to go through these preliminary stages. Have you at all done anything? Have you at all made mistakes? Have you at all corrected your mistakes? Please do that first. Make your mistakes, correct it. And then gradually when you keep on doing it again and again, you start developing a certain confidence, a certain comfort. And then you know the amount of time taken to do a particular task is reduced. And you do it right the first time. That's the position we're talking about. You can't jump into it directly without even doing anything. Many people tried this, but that doesn't work. Okay? And then taking it further, by knowing, by internalizing, becoming a role model. You become a role model. When you do this, people start looking at you and say, wow, this person is so systematic. This person has got clarity of thinking. He doesn't get clouded by unnecessary emotions and chaos. He knows the focus. He knows where to go. Right? And we take our people to achieve our goals. We lead them. When I practice these principles of management into my personal life, these are the benefits. Do I become a role model for others? Answer is yes. When I become a role model, I not only lead them towards a goal, collective goal, which all of us need to achieve, but I also make them systematic thinkers and action-taking people. What do I do in the bargain? Indirectly, I am creating indirectly future leaders. Future leaders. Leadership is not about leading alone. Leadership starts from a thought. First, you have to become a thought leader. Thought leading means what? Have a clarity, have a goal, follow it, learn to take alternate actions when things are going wrong, decision making, etc. If this is not clear, you can't be called a leader. So, thought leadership has to happen first. Only then action leadership takes place. Okay? And so, taking it further, management is the art of getting things done by a group of people. Now we come to how it's the art of getting things done. You don't get things done from people when you are yourself chaotic. After you do all these things, then you come and say that it's the art of getting things done by a group of people with the effective utilization of available resources. Very important statement. I've got all the resources in me. I should take those resources which are important, okay, and then put them into action. Those resources which will actually produce results. Effective. If a resource is unnecessarily used, which is what many people do, then the results are not as effective. Just for the sake of doing something, people do it. They invest on money, they invest on resources. And if it is not effective, what is the big idea? Is it managing? It's mismanaging. Make sure this is not happening. Okay?